And we're in the red.
All right.
We're recording.
All right. This is it. Hey, welcome to the Autism Show. And here are your hosts, Mitch and Vince Sleep. Yep. Hello, I am Mitch. And this is my brother, Vince.
Yep. And welcome to our podcast. So, to kick it off, I think that we need to onboard our audience and let them know that this is an experiment.
Yes. This is a multifaceted. The main premise of this is to introduce autism to a community that I'm not sure understands what living with an autistic individual is like. So hopefully with our knowledge and a personal experience, none of us are doctors, but we only believe that only through experience we can show a light that not many professionals get to see.
Yeah, so I think that this is going to talk to like kind of a wide array of audience, or it's going to talk to a wide arrayed audience.
Array.
It's more of us just talking through our experiences. So, because I think the best test of life, or I guess the best teacher of life, is when life proposes a different perspective to you, and that is to spark something in someone else's mind that says, okay, I saw this perspective. That was an interesting one. I'm actually going to use that in my own life because I feel like that's something to gain. I think that that's really the only lessons that people actually learn. I mean, I even think of like school, right? You go to a teacher, they tell you what to learn, those kinds of things. But the things that are lasting, things that change your life, those are going to be the things that, oh, I saw this on TV and it was really cool. Or, oh, my sibling did this for my other sibling, this was really cool, a family member or what have you, or like the Starbucks lady said hi to me when I know she's having a bad day.
Yeah.
Like those are the things like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm going to go say hi to someone even when I'm having a bad day just to try to make it a little bit better. So this podcast is kind of a vehicle for that perspective. So we're going to give people the perspective that you and perhaps I both have of how to live like a happy life, because that's the goal, right?
Oh, yes. I just want them to know that being an autistic individual, you feel like you're by yourself, you're isolated, you don't know how to communicate socially. I'm just here to we are both here together just to promote like you can move forward, and there is, your life has value no matter what you feel. We're going to show you there is a light at the end of that tunnel, and hopefully with both of our experiences, we can show you the tools and give you perspectives of how we view life and various other things that we can show you what we've learned in our lives.
Yeah. So why did we name it the Autism Podcast?
You actually spelled it. I was surprised that you did "aw" as in autism, yeah. Like awesome. That. It's I think it's very poetic in a sense, like showing awe. Like when you hear the stigma of autism in some people's views, it's like a damnation almost in some ways.
Right. It's some sort of handicap that you're assigning to someone, or kind of even like a derogatory kind of term.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. It's we're trying to like claim back the word, like saying it's not awesome. Scary, like you know how it is. Once we, when people don't understand, they fear. We're trying to show them a door, if you will, opening that door, removing the stigma, and showing you what's inside an autism person's mind.
For sure, which. That's what kind of led me into the name, the creation of like awesome and like autism podcast, because it's brought so much insight, again, that insight perspective into my life, to where I actually find, I mean, through other trials and tribulations, of course, but find that like the journey is actually the sexiest part of life. That's like the most appealing part to me. So as soon as you fall in love with the journey of kind of learning all these lessons, whether it be through me, one of my biggest lessons was when I found out I had like an autistic brother, and it, you know, I don't know. So I saw myself and others get caught up in like this idea of what we thought happiness was, which is like success or money or like having like the most normal brother, or having like the most normal family, like having, you know, doing the most normal vacations, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I soon realized that what was fun for me and what made me happy is when we would go to the movie theater and there was a lot of people around us and you were kind of like freaking out a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're telling me you're stressed out and kind of helping you cope with that stress. And then so that you could live a happier life. I think that was like the most valuable gift I could ever give to myself in a sense. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what like gave me a newfound perspective of like, oh, this dude's happiness, that's what makes me happy.
Yeah. I always refer to you guys as like affectionately as like my lighthouses, like going through the choppy waters of the social condition of our race of humans. Of just as many autistic people know or wish to learn, we're built differently from normal people's minds. Our brains aren't built to be as social as other people. So knowing that you guys could help me and lean like we have our parents and our sister,
right?
And like knowing, being able to trust them, that was like the brightest point of my life, knowing that I can rely on you guys instead of realizing it's just not a solo journey anymore.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most fascinating parts about autism, actually, is how they have to like build those tribes with mm-hmm. kind of like their inner circle. And like, we should do this in a later episode, is like dissecting kind of how those bonds are built.
Oh, yeah.
In your eyes, is to where we like take that transition period. I don't know. I think of like school and like a teacher mm-hmm. where like, I don't know, who was one of the teachers that really was its rock for you?
It was the librarian, believe it or not. Mr. Starchevich.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. So it's like when he first came into your life,
oh, yeah.
You know, he was probably just another stranger to you.
Oh, yeah.
But like, when was that transition period where he was able to become like such a wall to lean on kind of thing? You know what I mean? Where you were able to like look to him and have like conversations with him as you do with me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I realized that being a librarian, your job is like, you have to be social with people, like giving them out books, giving out good recommendations. Right. So I realized like, I love to read.
Yeah, you were probably his best customer.
Oh, yeah. And it was nice that he was willing to go that extra mile. Normally, I was used to people just saying, oh, it's over there, or like it's that way or that way, just simple response answers. But Starcevich, he actually was more than willing to go the extra mile. He listened to my recommendations of books. Mm. And it was interesting just to have that one-on-one and then being able to trust someone who wasn't part of my family.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think talking about also why I wanted to do this thing, and I kind of wanted to make your, I wanted this to be kind of your
vessel.
Right. Your vessel for like speaking your truth. Mm-hmm. So I want you to really like control all of what's going to go on, and I'll just be kind of the producer behind the scenes, make sure people are hearing it correctly. But I think what was so fascinating, what I really thought, like, this is something that you have to do, and I think that you could make this your life some way. Mm-hmm. Is I remember I had this moment when you were, and you don't even know this, is I had this moment when we were at the ASD conference in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I remember it so vividly. It's so I was about to do my little speech with mom, and I remember my heart rate, it was like at 121 right before we like went into it. You know, I was pretty nervous.
Yeah.
And I remember when you were about to do the keynote, and so I had my Apple Watch with me, and you seemed pretty calm, and I was like, hey, can I just like put this on you? Yeah. And this was minutes before you were actually about to go on stage and talk, and I put it on. And it was like 66.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like so low. I was like, no way. Something just sparked my mind. And I was like, this guy is just, I feel like, I don't know if it's autism. I feel it's got to be autism related, where we kind of register being in front of people and like having their attention paid to us, mm-hmm. we register that differently. Because I register it as, which I would classify as more popular, quote unquote, normal. Mm-hmm. It's like people were scared of judgment and those kind of things. But you were just, you just took the microphone and I just thought it was so natural. I was like, wow, you got, I feel like not only that you live like, this is what I really wanted the podcast to be for, is because I feel like you actually live a really happy life. Oh, and yeah. I think that if people were to know, you know, autistic people were to know that, like, you can really, really live a happy life, as I know that you do.
Yeah. The thing is just, autistic people, we're pretty much, we don't only just have the one diagnosis of autism. We also have diagnoses of high blood pressure or high anxiety or multiple depression and other things. Like, I've known many autistic people have been diagnosed more than one thing. And the thing is about autism, when I decided to speak about this, like, it started in Jackson, oh, yeah. Wyoming. And I believe it was the second or third, I believe, conference they had there. I just felt like the autistic community, my goal of the autistic community is we're trying to get the first generation of autistics, like back in the 90s and late 80s. I think it is our job to try and get this next generation of autistic girls and boys, just letting them know that there is a future for you and you shouldn't be afraid of it. Like, it's just, I always, for the longest time, I had a struggle of just understanding why I was diagnosed with autism and what could I do more.
Yeah, was that your kind of your first confusion, is wondering, like, what it was? And then as soon as you realized what it was like, I don't know. Well,
it was like that. Just trying to understand it, really. It's just autism. Well, to be fair, I tried looking it up in the medical books. I thought it was spelled with an O at the beginning. So I looked that up for a few years. It's like, autism. There's no O in the beginning. It's an A. So that threw me off. But just trying to understand, like, really look at people, read a few books about it. That's what it is. That's how I felt, like, you had to research the topic, like, trying to understand what it is and saying, oh, I do that, or.
Yeah. So I bet it's the, I don't know. I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it's like, because the first thing that I would be worrying about, and I'll represent the quote unquote normal side. I don't mm-hmm. know. I'd probably get some sort of hate for doing that, but that's perfectly fine. So as the normal side, if someone were to tell me I was diagnosed with something, I would first be scared of judgment from other people. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's not a struggle that you had. I feel like one of your struggles was, is like, what is kind of just like wrapping your mind around, what does that mean? Because you, that wasn't a concern of yours, was it? It was like, oh, what's people going to think of me? It's more of like, how am I going to go through life and get what I want?
Yeah. My goal was just trying to fit in. Like, I knew I was different. It's just that social antennas, one of my friends, Lindsay Nesbecker, she was from the Autism in Love. She said her father said she was born without an antenna. Like, you know how TVs back in the day had antennas, like, so the antennas are like our social information and how we pick up things from people, and many autistic people don't have that. They don't know what the person's going to say or do.
Right.
Like, we have to be, like, walked through it.
Right. Yeah. And several times too, right?
Oh, yes. There's just, it's like a barrier for most of the time. Like, sometimes when I could not understand sarcasm for the longest time, and there are some moments that I get confused, and but it's a learning experience, and that was probably the most difficult part, just trying to find out where I fit in and how my skill set was going to be used.
Right, the social antenna thing, that's really interesting. I forgot she said that. I need to think more about that. I like that.
Yeah.
So, what else is on your agenda?
Well, just trying to get, like, just trying to spread awareness for it. That's my main goal. And just sharing my life experiences, what I could feel that the autism communicate could do better, what it does the best.
Mm.
And just, I also just like to bring in my family for that part of I believe the family unit is very key for the autistic individual.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's going to be really just an unraveling. This podcast is an unraveling of how you got to where you are,
mm-hmm.
being that you are you're a happy person, right?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the given here is you're a happy person. You are able to achieve, a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
Paying your own rent.
Yep.
And most of all, you're a happy person.
Exactly.
So I think it's going to be kind of, as we'll take different situations. I think that's what would be fun too, is like to really try and like delve into helping as many people with, I don't know, just providing as many people with the perspectives as we'll kind of walk through, first the trials and tribulations of how you dealt with them, how we kind of coached our mom and dad coached you through them as a family, unraveling all of that. And then I even think that what you said, kind of going into the autistic community, how certain situations, because I don't know, I feel like there's so many incidents like with autism individuals or individuals who have ASD.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals who have ASD, right? I want to make sure I'm getting this correct.
Yeah, that's the autism spectrum disorder.
Right. So anyone who's on the autism spectrum disorder, just kind of, I don't know, giving a voice.
Yeah,
just through this, and we can say mistakes that we've either made, because I've certainly made a lot of mistakes, like being your brother, how I could have been a better brother to you. But I'm saying that, you know, the mistakes that we did make, how we could have done them better, how this one really, really worked, like this parenting strategy,
mm-hmm.
even though it was really hard on you, was like really effective, those kinds of things, like spanking you with a wooden spoon and putting you in a corner and forgetting about you. I know that really built the character.
Yeah. Well, and also I could just give my views of what I could have done better as a person on the spectrum, just realizing, like, understanding, like, discipline is good for you. It's okay to go through these difficult times, knowing that there is always going to be something better.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome journey, and it's right now it's not ending. So hopefully we can just give as much information as we can to people out there, and
hopefully be entertaining.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We're funny.
Sometimes. Yeah, we're pretty funny guys. We'll try to keep it in the PG 13 range.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah,
we're both in our late 20s. If you're wondering.
Oh yeah, they don't know anything about us. In our late
20s. Yeah.
Is 25 late?
It's like in the midpoint. It's like,
oh really?
Meh.
Yeah, Mitch is about to be 30 soon. Yeah, so how's that taste?
I know. It's I'm still kicking, so it's nice. But I just want people to know that this is not gonna be I want you to know that this is a non-judgmental zone. We're just trying to give as much clarity as we can, because giving a voice to the autistic community and just a community and our community as Vince like to say, the normal people.
Yeah.
Well, except in my opinion, I believe normal is boring, but
I agree.
Essentially, it's just trying to provide a light at that end of the tunnel, because it's difficult. It's difficult being a parent of any child, and hopefully we can provide that to parents, teachers, and anyone who's willing to learn about the ASD community.
Yeah, I'm actually really curious how people are going to learn and how people want to learn too. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if, like, I don't know, if people were to listen to this, because I think about the parents that came up to you,
mm-hmm.
and were like asking like how you got parented. Because I think that when you start from a blank piece of paper, you don't know where to draw on or like where to start.
Oh, exactly.
Like, you know, like if you're, there was this person on the plane to me, which I don't know if it's fair to speculate. I'm open to thinking that that's wrong, but okay. I think that they were on the ASD spectrum,
mm-hmm.
autism spectrum disorder. I still not. I think he had ASD,
mm-hmm.
and the stewardess came over into him and was like asking him something, and she it was like for the snack, right? It was on the airplane, so
yeah,
she was like asking for a snack, and he just like didn't know how to answer, and then his mom came up and was like, hey, like why didn't you answer the lady? And he was like, I didn't want anything at that moment, but he didn't like go out and say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, dang, you know, if we switching the perspective of like going to that parent, it's like, where do you start if you had a person like that? Like, there's no script, there's no like right way to do things. So I think that providing like some sort of context of like what has been done before, mm-hmm. that'll really help hone them, because everyone's different. Every ASD individual is different.
Gosh.
As well, it's like how to, you know, best position yourself in a situation that's going to be like very, you know, tailored specific to that person. But yeah, I think just context, what has been done before, would be good from your
point of view. The difficult thing about the ASD community, there's a saying among us. It's like, once you meet one person with autism, you have met one person with autism.
Mm-hmm.
It is just, the spectrum is literally can go any up, down, sideways, left, right, and like upside down practically. Just, it's such a difficult way to parent such a spectrum, but I can only provide a basic blueprint,
right?
Like for high impact and low impact. Yeah, because I've dealt with both, I've mentored both up and down, and I've been friends with on both sides of the spectrum as well,
right? I hope a lot of what we say, no, I hope it's wrong.
Yeah.
I hope it's wrong, because I think that that would imply that we have the script that people should follow,
mm-hmm.
when it's not a script.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be using a script. You could use pattern recognition maybe in some parallels that they can draw from our stories. But other than that,
like, we'll provide information that, like, if we feel that we're wrong, normally I do the research. I'll research it and I'll quote the research for it.
Yeah.
But what me and my brother, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, me and my brother, we are not doctors. We are not. We have never studied this. We just simply lived it.
Yeah.
And I believe life is the greatest teacher of all.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
Here, I can wrap it up.
Okay, let me just so better endeavors for your future. Hopefully that you are still very interested in this. The Autism Show is still online. First episode in the books. Here's to many more coming your way. This is Mitch Sleep and Vince Sleep signing off. Bye bye, folks.
Bye guys. Let's get a high five in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bloopers.